listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 2nd, 2014. I don't know. Happy May Day still. April showers bringing all sorts of May flowers. Have you had hummingbird sightings yet? They're around, and they're going to be coming through the area in the next few days. Hopefully, we're all just celebrating the new life that's being created throughout our gardens. One quick announcement before we dive into the book of Acts. This has been our practice on, I think, 37, 38 different Fridays as we've been going through this book of the Bible, and we'll be in chapter 8 in just a few moments. But those of you that can get the Urbana public television channels tomorrow night at 5:30, you can watch a program called On the Rock with Pastor E.V. Davis Jr. and his two co-hosts as the Singing Men of GNN taped this program with them a couple weeks ago, and it's going to be televised on Channel 99. It's the AT&T channel at 5:30, and also Channel 6 Comcast. So if you're familiar with those two channels, and I don't know if they're just accessible around the Champaign-Urbana area or wherever you can get Channel 99, which is AT&T, or Channel 6, which is Comcast. It's part of the Urbana Public Television Network, urbanapublictelevision.org. But the program is On the Rock. It's a telecast at 5:30 tomorrow night, Saturday, May 3rd. So I'm interested to see how the Singing Men did. We were all dressed in our tuxedos, and prior to presenting during this program, I had just put out a fire in my yard. Smoke still in my hair. I was in this tuxedo. Oh, there was a whole story. All the guys were laughing because it was down to like 3-2-1 as I showed up, got in the front line, and we began our presentation. So I'm kind of interested to see how we all did dressed in our tuxedo, but that's tomorrow night. And may God use it to his glory. Maybe it'll touch some people. We sang a number of selections, and I know it was a blessing to E.V. Davis and the other co-hosts. They were worshiping along with us. So it was kind of, and they give a little preaching, delivering and dividing God's word. It's like a half-hour program, and I think we were 20 minutes of it. So.
Oh. Very cool.
That's tomorrow night on Channel 6 Comcast or Channel 99, the AT&T channel, for at least the greater Champaign-Urbana area.
Beautiful.
So the book of Acts, I know last time we saw what was happening to good old Stephen and then some people that were raised up that God used, even though at the time they were opposed to godly things, or at least opposed to this new way that God was working. I think they thought they were pursuing God in their wrong ways, but Saul at the time is in the process of becoming Paul.
Yeah, well, he's in the process of it. I don't think he knows he's in the process yet, but God is in the process of doing it. And so we begin in verse 5 of chapter 8. It says, "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ." And this is pretty big because the Jews would go to great, great length to avoid Samaria. Remember when Jesus goes and he talks to the Samaritan woman by the well, it's a big deal that they're in Samaria. And they're probably in, well, they're in Samaria because the ministry of God has brought Jesus into Samaria. But some people from a very human standpoint look at the fact that it was right before that John the Baptist was killed. And so Jesus would have been the next target. And so normally what the Jews would do is they would take that very treacherous and dangerous King's Road and then travel up Jordan River Valley up to the Galilee instead of taking what would be an easier, probably a little bit more direct route straight up through Samaria and up into the Galilee. And so Philip, he goes out and he goes to the city of Samaria and he begins to proclaim to them the Christ. Now, that's interesting that he proclaims the Christ and not proclaims Jesus. Whenever we see in the Bible, we see the word Christ. So we see Christ Jesus versus Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus means the office of the Messiah, something that only the Messiah could do. So when Stephen proclaims the Christ, he's proclaiming the gospel. He's proclaiming the messianic fulfillment that came through Jesus Christ. Whenever we see Jesus Christ, it's always a much more personal understanding of what he's doing. And so here he's saying, look, this is the Messiah. And it said the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. So Philip here, they hear him, and they see, and they begin to believe, because as one accord, they paid attention. What we're going to find out in the book of Acts is you've got two crowds. They either pay attention or they persecute, and that's the way it works. And so now we're going to see as Philip begins to make converts, especially one very interesting convert. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is infallible, that it is without error, that it is unshakable, that your word, once we get into it, we can't get out of it. We can't get it off of us, that it deposits in us something that is deeper and greater than we can understand. And because of your word, because of your son, because of your revelation and your Holy Spirit, that we long to be near the cross. We long to be near our Savior Jesus. And so we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, which we get to freely read. We pray that it would disrupt our comfort, that it would scatter us in ways that help us to bring you glory and to fulfill the call of the gospel on our lives. Mm-hmm. So we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And so it says that for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So Philip comes to town and he begins to show them signs. He begins to preach the gospel, and there's signs and there's wonders happening. And in one accord, they're paying attention because the lame are now walking, the paralyzed are healed. And all of a sudden, what does it say? So there was much joy in that city. Not happiness, because happiness is fleeting. Happiness is here today and gone tomorrow. We're happy for a short amount of time, which is always followed up by anxiety, frustration, or anger. And here, there is a joy in the city, which means something that transcends happiness, this deep kind of understanding of the things of God, what God's doing in your midst. You know, I think about when my son was born, just 5 months old, so 5 months ago, and I watched him being born, and I was happy, but at the same time, there was another emotion, which was joy. It was deep down inside. Happiness was kind of on the surface, but happiness was also kind of contending against, is my wife okay? Is she feeling okay? What do I need to do? Can I help? Is everything all right? Don't take a picture of this. Take a picture of that. I mean, there was a lot of things kind of contending with that happiness. But above and all over that was this deep sense of joy, like, wow, like this wow moment. Like I couldn't believe what I was being offered, the position to watch, to be a part of, to stand near, to witness.
And a lot of that is derived because the awesomeness of God. I mean, you were connected
totally
with God through that
point.
Oh,
totally. I mean, I can't do that. And I don't understand how it works. I don't understand how this thing grows into an 8-pound baby and comes out and it can smile and it can blink and it can wink and it can move its fingers. I mean, I don't get any of that. I mean, biologically, I can lean into some of the things I know from college, but on a real gut level, I don't get it. On a real gut level, I don't get why my 5 month old son grabs my ears and kisses me. Because that's not like what 5 months, like I don't get that. But so there's like this deep sense of joy of the things of God. And that's because as this is happening, like it's not like the paralyzed are being made to walk, the lame are being healed. And Philip is like, now for a small offering. He's not, because it said that he was preaching Christ. So he's going, you know why this happened? This happened because of this man named Jesus. You know, I wonder for some of you, when you pray for somebody whose relationship is struggling and they call you and they say, you know what, we seem to have turned a corner. We've gotten over the hump. Our relationship just seems to have changed. Do you say, praise God, I want to tell you why that's like that? Or do you say, oh, I'm so glad you shared that with me. Thank you. When somebody who you are praying for gets healed, do you run to them and tell them, I want you to know that while I love medical science and while I know you had a good doctor and while I know that Carl is a pretty good hospital, that it's only because of the grace and mercy and the magnificence of God that you are walking today. I just want you to know, I want to draw a clear, distinctive line for you. This is only because God was at work. I mean, do we do that? Because I think that's what Philip was doing. And I think that in them, that purged happiness and created just this amazing sense of joy. That all of a sudden, that was what the city was filled with it. And so, as always, though, what we're going to find out is what's interesting in the book of Acts is there's always something that happens that's rather positive, and then there's always a but. And so here as we come to verse 9, there's the but. Because what the book of Acts is going to continually show us is the tension between the things of God and the things of the world and how they rub up against each other. And there's so much for us to learn. Now remember, it's descriptive, not prescriptive. So this is not telling us how we go out and we get magicians saved. But this is telling us what it might look like as we rub up against them. And then it's showing us how somebody dealt with it. This isn't the instructions for how to proselyte a magician. So it said, but there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great.
Yep. Gonna get a testimony.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, really. I mean, like, he did it like, oh, look, there's a quarter behind your ear. Oh, Simon, you are so great. I know I am. Now let's take an offering. I mean, and so, by the way, this is a marker for when we have a problem, okay? When somebody makes it about themselves and not about God, when the glory is being ushered in and transferred upon the person and not upon God, then we have a real problem. So when Simon comes in the city and he amazes the people and they say, oh, he's somebody great, and we don't see the Bible, because the Bible's true. The Bible would say, and then Simon said, I'm not great, God is.
Yeah.
If there was a God-honoring testimony, that's what would happen, but that's not what happens here. What happens is, basically, the Bible's telling us that when they said, Simon, you are so great, he said, I am, aren't I? I am. Isn't it amazing the things I can do? You know, I spend more time as a pastor deferring those things off of me and onto God. Because people come to me all the time and they say, oh my gosh, I appreciate you so much. Oh my gosh, I love so much. Oh my gosh, you're so great. Oh my gosh, if it wasn't for you, I just want you to know it's God. It has little to do with me. Listen to me and pay attention, please. I am here today and gone tomorrow. David in the Bible was a great man. In fact, he was a man after God's own heart. And his funeral is one verse. It says he died and he was buried in the place of his fathers, and then the story continues. Because it's not about me. It's about the awesome majesty and greatness of God, and we need to continually be pointing people to that. See, this is the tension here. Philip was getting people healed, and people were coming to know who Jesus was, and he was telling them who Jesus was. He was saying, this is because of the power of the gospel. And then right on the flip side, you've got this guy Simon, and he's going, this amazing thing you're seeing, it's because of me.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's about the awesome power of God. And they all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest. Look at, everybody was duped by this guy, which tells us that every single one of us could be duped by this kind of guy, by some sort of charlatan who, with some good tricks, some snappy banter, might woo us into his presence in a way that only God can woo us. This man is the power of God that is called great. And this just tickled Simon's ears. Trust me, as somebody who hears these things, sometimes these things can just tickle your ears.
Yeah, the NIV version, this man is the divine power known as, capitalized, great, capital G, power, capital P. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, one minute, look at the lame and paralyzed have been healed. The Bible doesn't say this verbatim, so I'm going to reach a little bit here. The lame and the paralyzed are getting healed. They're going across the street. Simon pulls a rabbit out of a hat, and they're going, wow, he's amazing. This is the great and divine one. Weren't you just paralyzed? Let's draw an understanding here. All he did was pull a rat. He did the Bullwinkle joke. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Over here, you were healed of infirmity by Jesus Christ, by the power of the gospel. And by the way, you didn't even deserve it, because you were probably wretched, and yet the power of God would be shown into your life. And you give me, read the NIV one. You got me all fired up. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. Look at, the Bible spends like three verses telling us what idiots we are sometimes. It spends three verses telling us how easily wooed we are of the things of the world. How many times have you been like praying or reading your Bible, or something's happening, or been invested in something where you're seeking after God's heart, and the TV's on, something happens, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm hungry. Or all of a sudden you're like, what is that? Is that the Taco Bell theme? I mean, like, right away you're like, so easily, and that's how we are. We're just so easily distracted, and tells us that right here.
And coming out of Easter week, Holy Week, you know, a few days before, Hosanna, Hosanna, look at who comes in the name of the Lord, and crucify him the next few days.
Yeah. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So Philip is in the middle of a battle here, a battle against somebody who's trying to woo people towards the world and the power of God manifested through this kingdom that is unfolding around them. And because of that, Philip is seeing people being saved, and he's baptizing them. He's getting them in the water. And it says, seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. So Simon, the sorcerer, he's doing tricks, you know. He's doing the coin thing. He's pulling the rabbit out of the hat. He's doing the thing with all the handkerchiefs coming out of his sleeve. You know, I mean, he's doing all his best
Get
tricks.
Ready to pull out his saw. And cut
there you go. He's
going to
pull out his saw, and he's going to cut some Hebrew woman in half. He's doing all his best tricks. And then he sees Philip. And he goes, I can't do that trick. I mean, he's walking. I mean, how did you do that? Tell me how you did it. I mean, was he really able to walk beforehand? Were those wooden legs? I mean, tell me what happened. And Philip's like, no. These are great miracles. Aren't you amazed? And the Bible tells us he was amazed. So along with the believers, Simon himself believed in this. He saw these amazing things, and it was undeniable to him. There was some movement of the Spirit. Now, what we're going to find out is that it wasn't a real movement of the Spirit. It was simply him being wooed by something he wanted. Now, there is something important to say here, something very important to say, is that some of us would say, well, can we lose our salvation or can't we lose our salvation? I mean, is our salvation eternal or is it momentary? And if I screw up, I can have a chance of it kind of slipping out from beneath me. Well, I just want you to know, and we don't have time to go through a whole teaching, but I believe in eternal security. I believe that if Jesus was to get you and then throw you away because you were bad, then you weren't worth getting in the first place. You were bad when he got you. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, God sent his son. So it's not that you can be so bad that Jesus would discard you. It's because you were so bad that Jesus embraced you. Okay, we need to understand that. Because I believe that we oftentimes take too low a view on salvation. And so what happens is we give the altar call, somebody gets up and they're like, hallelujah! And they run up and they say the prayer with you, but nobody has impressed upon that person the weight of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We're so in love with the idea of the baptizing. We're so in love with the idea of the proclamation that comes publicly through baptism and through these things. And I'm not trying to say that baptism is bad, but I want to ensure that I baptize people who understand the weight of their belief, who understand, like John the Baptist said, bear fruit. It's falling off the trees. So generally when people come to me and they say, I've accepted Jesus Christ my Savior, I sit them down. I want you to articulate for me the gospel. What is this? What gospel have you been saved to? And what have you been saved from? And then from there, what does it mean in your life? And I'm going to tell you what, some of those just very rudimentary questions, people are going to know right away. You're going to know right away whether somebody believes or if they simply just decided they were hungry. You know what I mean? It's sort of like when you're driving down the road and you're like, oh, I'm hungry. And then you just pull off and you drive through. Because suddenly you were hungry and you had a movement of what you – some people might say, oh, I had a movement of the Spirit. No, you had a movement of the stomach. You know, and maybe in that moment the Spirit was convicting you, but you are not willing to take your whole self across the line as you're being saved. So I think that's what happens here with Simon. Simon wants what Philip has, and he sees this kind of acceptance of the gospel. He sees this baptism as something that he can do to get what he wants. It's a byway to do that. So, and right away, we know that this is an issue of authority because the apostles from Jerusalem, they hear about it and they come to check it out. So right away, I mean, we kind of pull back and we look at what's happening here. Philip, who's a new apostle, a new guy coming to preach and share the gospel, do signs and miracles and wonders. We have this sketchy guy named Simon, and he gets saved because new guys in ministry sometimes make mistakes. Sometimes it's hard to just... I'm going to tell you what. I have baptized people who have walked away from the Lord. And it is absolutely heartbreaking that they have walked away from the Lord. And I would tell you that some of those people whom I did that, I didn't ask those questions to. I simply was swept up in the moment, got them in the water, rejoiced and celebrated, and found out that the small window of rejoicing and celebrating that I did with them was nothing compared to the long amount of time I spent weeping over the fact that they've left the faith. And so this is an issue of authority, and we see some people of greater authority. By the way, before I baptize people, the elders and I at our church talk about it because I want somebody above and over me to talk with us about that. I don't want to be the lone gunman, the lone ranger who goes, they're saved. I want to make sure that we understand together what this means.
And I know we're running out of time, and then just the second half of verse 13, and this is talking about this Simon. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Yeah. But really, when we walk faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not really that astonished because that's just a part of who God is.
Right. Yeah. Right. See, I mean, if you ran across Jesus today, you know, and you're like, hey, Jesus, I mean, I can't believe when you did that one thing. Jesus would be like, what? I did it all the time. I mean, I don't think that in God's vocabulary, miracle means the same thing that it means to us. Miracle for us is like, it was a miracle. Jesus is like, that was like breakfast. That was like before breakfast. I did it all the time. Yeah. I mean, that's not like a big deal.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is like, I do that all the time. I mean, and really, if we would, you know, how many billion people in the world, if we would mash it all together and hear stories about miracles, we'd find out that miracles are way more commonplace than we think that they are, yeah, because it is the nature and person of God. So as we come back next week and talk about this, we're going to talk about the authority, because every single one, look at, we should be in love with authority. We should be in love with the fact that people sit above and over us, not to lord over us, not to crush our dreams, not to do any of that, but to offer us good and wise counsel. You know, Isaiah said, come and let us reason together. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. It's because left to my own devices, I will try and be my own God. Mm-hmm. And God says, no. Let's do it together. And so that's what we're going to find out, and we're going to see what happens to this Simon the Sorcerer.
Join us at this time again next Friday for the continuation through this book of Acts.
The continuing saga.
That will go on through 2017.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.